Okay. Good morning. This is our ninth shiur in Sefer Musar Avicha. Today is the 15th of Iyar, 7th of May, 30th of the Omer. And we are on page Lamed Zayin in the Sefer Musar Avicha, page Lamed Zayin, 37. Yeah. Okay. Also like to mention a Mazel Tov to the Perez family and the Bris of Gavriel this morning. They had twins.
Amen.
Naomi, the girl, and Gavriel, who had his Bris and naming this morning. Mazel Tov. Okay. Again, we're on page Lamed Zayin in Sefer Musar Avicha. What I think you've seen by now, and this is in general, I think one of the beautiful things of learning later Moses Sfarim. Really, you could always ask the question, if we have the early works, we have the Mesilas Yesharim and the Chovos Halvavos, so why do we need later works? But Rav Kook really addressed that in this Sefer, probably more than once, but he said the early Sfarim spoke so cryptically, and their ideas are so subtle, that a person can read through it and not realize that there's great Chachma there, or he can read it and get himself excited and think that that's the full accomplishment. So what later Musar works do is they expound and they develop it. And each great Musar personality, Rav Kook has certain, I think, ideas and feelings that come out that you don't feel exactly the same way in another Sefer, and this great person and that great person. So all of the later Chachamim really bring out different ideas. And in that vein, I think this is a beautiful Sefer, and I think we're getting a lot from it. I'd like to mention, by the way, thank you to David Chase. The recordings are now on the Young Israel website, the Musar Avicha. If you go to the website under blog, and you can get to the internet archive, they're all there. So we'll send out the recording weekly, but then hopefully put it up for posterity. Okay, so we are on page Lamed Zayin. What we were learning about last time is a very deep idea. You'll see in a second that it really comes from Kabbalah, and that is that it defines for us more precisely what tshuva really is. And what he's defining is that a person's seichel and ratzon, his wisdom, if you will, and his will are really pure. It's only when they interact with the wrong things that they look impure. And the process of tshuva is, so to speak, taking off, drawing back the tentacles. And at the core, seichel and ratzon are pure. A person has allowed his seichel and his ratzon to make bad shiduchim in the way they've been implemented in his life. So that's no good. Tshuva is the process of pulling everything back to the holy and pure core, which he's going to describe as an uncomfortable process, because the neshama naturally wants to, the human being is given great faculties, and those faculties want to be used. They want to be implemented. Tshuva is the process of pulling them back, purifying them, and then carefully testing the waters. Am I ready to resend them? If I do it too soon, even though I know in my heart what I'm supposed to do, but they end up going back to their bad ways. You have to hold them back, and then when they are ready, and not too early, when they're ready, then you resend them, and now they're purified, now they do what they're supposed to do. If this sounds vaguely familiar, it's because it is. That's what the Teva of Noach is. Everything has to be confined back into a microcosm, the Teva. Are we ready yet? Let's send the bird and see. Oh, not ready just yet. Oh, now we're ready. Now we can go inhabit, re-inhabit the land. In a very deep teaching, he tells us that Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzata, the author of Mesilas Yesharim, shows us in one of his Kabbalah Sfarim, that's at a deeper level what's being taught to us in the Teva of Noach. And even that was an oversimplification. So we continue. On page Lamed Zayin, right in the middle of the page, there's a line that starts, V'hine kishemachnes. It's right around the middle of the page, second word on a line. V'hine kishemachnes el nekudas hasechel v'haratzon. In school, I go like this. I say it's right here on the smart board. V'hine kishemachnes el nekudas hasechel v'haratzon. When a person brings back to the Nakuda is the point, not the line, just the point. You draw the line back to a single point of Seichel and Ratzon. Shehem ba'atzmam tahorim, that they themselves, they per se, are tahor. Games hakavim shenispashto, a kav is a line. Then also the rays, the lines that have spread out.
You draw all that back. V'hakavim kvar hurgalu shelo kedarkam bakodesh. But those rays have already been accustomed. They've been trained in a way that's not according to their holy ways. In other words, again, the seichel and ratzon per se are holy and great entities, but it gets linked up and misled by the blandishments of the guf, of the physical world, materialism. So now this great entity called seichel, this great entity called ratzon, is being implemented, is being translated in the world in a way that's no good. And it got used to that. Habit is a very powerful force. So my seichel is used to hanging out with the wrong kids. So ein yeshivasam hamachuneses hazos chamud beinim. They don't enjoy this dwelling. This ingathered dwelling of theirs is not chamud. It's not. They don't enjoy it. It's not good in their eyes. Al kein yelech koder. Therefore, he will go around. Koder is like gloomy. He'll go around, it can mean like blackened or gloomy, belachatz, under pressure, voracious darko at the beginning. In other words, to undergo this process of calling everything back home. All right, call it all off. All the different ways the seichel and the ratzon have been implemented, it's all bad. It's all no good. Moratorium, call everything back. So everything has to be gathered back. Basically, it means a person's coming back to his seichel and his ratzon, but he's not doing anything. It's like he's locked. He's grounded. So the neshama does not enjoy that. And he feels gloomy, and he feels under pressure. He feels like a pressure cooker at the beginning. But v'machas v'shalom ya'azo v'sakochos aprote mitoch nekudoso. But he's going to warn us, but if because of that pressure, because it's unpleasant, he releases them again too quickly. If, God forbid, he will abandon these individual kochos, these individual faculties, from the dot, from that core, lo leches ba'asher yishalchu, to let them go where they went, ye'avu darkam o, they will corrupt their ways again. There's an idea that Chazal talk about, a person means to do tshuva, but it's half-baked. This is a very detailed explanation of how that happens. He gathers everything back in, but he allows, before he's properly recalibrated, he allows them back out and they go back to their habit. A person can have in his intellect what he wants his tshuva to be, but not enough process to actually implement it. And then I go back to my old ways. When I release the kochos haneshama, they go back to where they're used to going. Again, because habit is a very strong force. Ki kol hamechsholim kvar aruchim usturim, because all of the stumbling places are already set up. As he's used to it. It's very easy to go back to where we're, even if intellectually I know better, but it's very easy to go back to where they were. Usidarim tovim od lo ne'esu ba'aretz. And a good setup has not yet been made, but be'imkei hachomer, in the depths of the material. In other words, when he draws himself back to his neshama, so back at home base, I know what it's supposed to be. But before I can allow those kochos haneshama, that power that the soul has, out into the material world, we have to make a clear plan. The coach comes, all right, you go here, you come around here, you do this. If we don't do that first, they'll just go back to where they were because we haven't plotted out a good path for them. Omnam, but here's the good news. B'ma'at zman, with a little bit of time, yoshuvu hakavim el tivam. Those rays will go back to their nature. Remember, tshuva is not taking something that's naturally bad and forcing it to be good. It's the opposite. It's taking something that's naturally good and has just gotten a little bit corrupted by making bad associations, releasing those associations and bringing it back to its pure state. Again, the ABC of what he's saying is that the seichel and the ratzon per se are good. So with a little bit of time gathered back in, those rays will come back to their nature. What's their nature? Purity. V'yasigu simchas lev, and they will achieve joy of the heart. In contrast to the very beginning of the process where he said they feel gloomy and locked up, actually after a little bit of time, they breathe a sigh of relief. This is what I meant to be. Mechazarosa me'eretz merachakim. What are they joyous over? Over their return from a distant land. They'll base imam v'cheder harosan. So, phraseology of the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. But back to the room of their. It literally means the room of their conception. But it means back to something's pure beginnings. It's gone out to foreign in the sense not only distant but foreign to the way things should be, to foreign lands, and now it's coming back to itself. It's coming back to its pure self, and even the beginning of the process is unpleasant. You can think of many mishalim, analogies to this, in the physical world. people that have gotten, I don't know, addicted or something, and initially it's an uncomfortable process, but then there's a relief at getting back to who I really am. So initially it's unpleasant, but then there's a joy. Oz yokel lo tzaro. Then his pain will be lessened. Vishifluso, and his feeling of lowliness. Vidikus nafsho, and like the crushing of his soul. All of that, those feelings will be mitigated. Avo al kolponim yotzer lo ki lishaleach chofshi es kochos nafsho lechz brechava odi efshar. But he still feels pain. He still feels some constriction, because the ability to send the kochos hanefesh, which again means a person is given enormous faculties and potential, and to set them free, which is their natural state of being. They want to be doing, they want to be accomplishing, they want to spread out. Odi efshar, it's not possible yet. Ki lo yavsha ha'aretz mehamayim hazedonim, because the earth has not dried yet from the evil waters. And he's using that mashal with very good reason, as you'll see in a second, and I alluded to it before. Hatzofim alav, that are floating upon it. He can't send his faculties out yet. They're starting to feel a little bit more relief. I don't mind so much being back home. There's some relief, but they still feel constricted, and he's not yet able to send them free. Al kain, therefore, o darush lo la'atzer machshavos of etzlo shelo yiru pnehara. He therefore still has to hold back, and atzeres is when you're being held back, right? We have 7 days of Sukkot, and then there's Biyom Hashmini Atzeres. And the eighth day, the Medrash says, Hashem says, don't go yet, stay here. So Latzar can mean to stop, but it really means to hold back. It still requires him to hold in his thoughts. He has to keep, like we said today, circle the wagon. Shelo Yiru Pnei Hara, they shouldn't see the bear. Don't send them out. Don't send the kochos out too early when the evil waters haven't dried up yet. Avol Bimlos Yimei Mispar. But at the end of, you may misper means countable days. It means it's not the longest period of time. After a number of days, I don't know if he means that literally, but he means a short amount of time. The kochos nafsho yurgalu bedrachim tovim. And again, he's using the term, the kochos hanefesh, the faculties of the soul, the strength of the soul, become habituated, become used to good ways. They've been grounded for a week now, and haven't seen any evil, haven't seen any, and therefore they're sort of disassociating themselves from all previous conceptions of how they should link up in the material world, and they're dropping those associations, and now they're getting used to good ways. And out of their like incarceration, now they will send their hand to dominate the material. You recall, he explained earlier, what made for all of the corruption is, whereas the nefesh should dominate the material, because it's so far superior. The nefesh is a prince, and the material is a peasant. But instead, this kid who's a prince went out and he let the peasant show him, you know, how to be wayward and how to run wild. Instead of him saying, look, this is the way I've been educated, this is what we should do, and I'll show you where to go, he's letting the lower being show the higher being where to go. So now the correction comes when the nefesh, by coming back home and contemplating what it's supposed to be, now when it goes out, it's going to be sholot. It's going to dominate over the chomer. Turning the page, ad shegam hu yorgel v'archos yosher. Until now, the lower being, meaning the material side of man, will become trained in the proper ways. Instead of the material misleading the spiritual, the spirit now knows. He got a good schmooze. He came back home, and mom said, when you go out there, you tell him what he should do. Don't let him tell you what you should do. Yisrael Salanter has a saying, when you meet up with a balagola, engage him in conversation, otherwise he may engage you in conversation. Balagola was a wagoneer, but it was like the lower... You take the lead. So now the nefesh has been taught, you have to play your role. Don't let it guide you. So now, and that'll be good for the lower side of man too. V'chalaka v'rucho yu kelim noyim l'chevet Hashem. Now all of the parts of his being, his spirit, will all be good vessels for the will of Hashem. Oz l'chavshi yetzu mima'asarim klei kochos of now. Again, a ma'asar is a jail. Vessels of his kochos, the different entities of parts of his being, can now go out from their incarceration. Asher benekudosam tzafnam, that until now he had been tzofen. Tzofen means to be closed in, safun, you can hide something away. They've until now been constricted, squeezed back into this nakuda, into this point. Now you allow that point to expand and the rays of light can go out again.
And they can grow and make vast their dominion in the body. Uvakal, and easily. Yishmu latzas hasechel hakadosh v'yarutzu v'lei koshlu. And now, and this was a point he made before, so now it becomes natural. Really, it's an easy process. It just needs a little bit of correction, but then it becomes natural. So now that he's gone through the process of coming home and spending the amount of time necessary to withdraw the previous, correct it, and now go out again, now it happens naturally. Now, easily, lightly, they will listen to the Eitzah, the counsel of the Seichel, the Holy Seichel, and they will run and they won't stumble. Meaning they will, well, a person has tremendous kochos and they're meant to be used. The problem is that Tzona, he's been using them the wrong way. You see somebody who's very talented or has a great strength of character, be using it for the wrong thing. What he has to do tshuva is first gather it back in, stop, don't use it at all. You're used to using it the wrong way. Recalibrate. Don't go out too early. Wait till you really have that clear. Now use your kochos and efforts the right way. And that's what's happening here. And he says, next paragraph on page Lamed Ches, the hadavar haprati ba'adam, now he gives away the secret. The hadavar haprati ba'adam nilmudhu mehaklal kulo. The individual, let's say, process in man is learned from the general rule at large. Shelemdanu hachosid ramach letzato zal. That was taught to us by the righteous one of Moshe Chaim Litzato. Moshe Chaim Litzato was out of this world, and we know him as the author of the Mesilas Yesharim and the Das Tevunos, but those are just two of his easy svarim that are readable, or we think they're readable. Most of his svarim are Kabbalistic, and so he taught us this, Beperusha L'Adar. Adar is Idra Rabbah. There are sections of the Zohar that are called Idra. There's a few of them. They're very deep, and they're so deep that I have no idea what they're talking about. I wouldn't claim that I do. But Rav the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato, in his explanation of the Idra Rabba, which you can see in the footnote, he has a sefer called Adir Bamarom, that's a play on the word Idra. That's the Ramchal's sefer on the Idra Rabba. If you want to go home and study it and then explain it to me, feel free. But I don't think we could understand one word. And it's all Kabbalah. But at least Rav Kook is explaining to us this idea that's in that sefer, Me'inyan Hamabul V'Tevas Noah. What he just described as an individual process, the Ramchal tells us, is really what's happening in the Idra Rabba with regard to the Mabul and Noach's Teva. Shedoma lo haya ha'idra de Rav Shimon bar Yochai alav ha'shalom. This is appropriate to Lag B'Omer, which is this week. The Idra of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Idra is a term for that part of the Zohar. What the word even means is not 100% clear. It might mean like a silo. But anyway, Shatikunim niskenu b'fnim ha'idra. That the fixing, the tikunim, the spiritual fixing of things has to happen within the Idra. Kemosh niskan ha'olam kulo ayidei gidul ba'al chai v'aspakas mazor. What happened in the Teva? It was a microcosm of the world. The outside world was destroyed, but Noach is told, gather in, make a small place of purity while what's happening outside is no good. Fix it within, and then when we're ready, we'll let it out. That's the story of the Teva of Noach. So, and Noach had to really conduct it was literally a microcosm of the world. They had every animal, right? And so by raising the Baalei Chai, the animals, Baspakas Mazanim, providing their food, Besocha Teva, within the Teva. Now, was that a difficult process? It sure was. Would all of those creatures rather have been out on the breadth of the earth? Yes, with Noah, I'm sure he would also. He was doing the will of Hashem, but it was not a natural process. It was a difficult process. Rak lo haya efshar l'hispashet ba'olam, but it was not possible to spread out in the world. Mitzad shemidas hadin garma, because the trait of Hashem of judgment had caused sheyiyam mabul al pnei kol ha'aretz, that there would be a deluge, a flood on the face of the whole earth. L'chalos pesho, l'hosim chatos, to eliminate sin and to purify chait. U'kimokein, and similarly, hatikunim hagedolim shel ma'oros hakadusha l'hoya efshar shi'espashtu ba'ola. The good, the great tikunim of the light of holiness was not able to spread in the world Midnei tipshus leiv anshei ha'olam, because of the foolishness of people of the world, ayidei zuha masim roim, that came from the dirt, the sullenness of their bad actions, the tshukos dimyonos, and longing for, we could say, delusions or images that are come from the Yetzihara. Aval kishe yishlam ha'olam, but when the world was completed, was put back at peace, yatzu chafshi me'amasa, then they came out free from the jail, from the place of being locked up. V'chein kishe yishlam ha'guf, yetzu chafshi osam ha'kucho. So it works the same way within a person.
Just as the world at that time had gotten corrupted to the degree they have to squeeze everything back into one nakuda, one point of light that has to be pure and has to stay there for a period of time. It's not one day, it was a long period of time. And only when things are fully ready can we let it out. So too happens in an individual person.
V'hinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara es ha'adam b'chachma. Behold, God created man with wisdom. He doesn't mean God's wisdom. He means that man has chachma. V'heichin b'tivo kochos l'tshuva. And he created within his very nature powers of tshuva. Kevan shahat tshuva kadma l'briyas olam. Because tshuva came before the creation of the world. Tshuva is so part and parcel to existence. It precedes the world. Man cannot exist without tshuva. Man, by his very nature, errs. He sins. Ein adam tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yachta. There's no man on earth who does only good and doesn't sin. And he needs a way to fix that. Tshuva is therefore part of man's very nature. Al kain, I think what he means by that is that therefore this process that we're describing is it really is a natural process for man. It's something he's supposed to be able to do. Not every natural process is easy, but it's within his nature. Al kain sholei hu benafsha luchnos elav kochos. So therefore he can rule over his nefesh to gather in his kochos. But this ingathering is felt in the heart in a sense of sadness. Etzev is sadness. It's unpleasant. It's not a pleasant process. Uvesechel, and in the heart it's a sadness. It's a gloominess. Uvesechel, and in the intellect, belachatz uktzar ruach. It's like pressure and a shortness of breath. Because a human being is supposed to be expansive, it's great kochos, but so now you have to tell him to correct yourself. You have to shrink, so it's not pleasant. Avol lo zehu hatachlis, but that's not the point. That's not the goal. That's part of tshuva is sometimes pain, but it's an interim process. It's not the ultimate goal of the tshuva. It's just a passing drilling that pains you, but it passes. Rak b'meshach ha'tikun, but during the course of the tikun, tzarach ha'adam l'nas. Now, but here's a detail that he hasn't elaborated on yet, but it continues from the mashal of the teva. During the course of the tikun, tzarach ha'adam l'nasas. L'nasas means to test. Kochosav. He has to test his kochos, let's say his faculties. Ula yuchal ishalea chafshi. Maybe he's already able to send them free. V'yavdu avodas Hashem yisbarach b'yeses eis. And they'll be able to serve Hashem with a renewed and great strength. Ki yefshal etalmud Torah l'srachiv l'redes al omek ha'chachma mitis v'lasos tov yashar v'pulus gadolz kiyem b'nefesh melea omets ruach ugur l'achas baruch haba. Sorry about that. Because it's impossible for the study of Torah to be broad and to plumb the depths of the true wisdom and to do that which is good with great actions and mitzvahs, unless a person has a breadth of character and a sense of being a gibur, l'lechas b'rochava bilti me'useres. To serve Hashem properly, a person can't feel like he is constricting himself, like his kochos are being squeezed into a tiny space. So really, he must let the kochos out of that confined space. So what does he have to do? When he's doing this practice, he has to test the waters. Am I ready yet? V'hu inyan shilua ha'ori v'hayona. That's the concept of sending the birds. Sheyimtza adam b'nafsho drachim. What's the nimshol is not so clear. He says a person has to find in his nefesh ways. Sheyucha l'nasos kochosav. That he'll be able to test his kochos.
B'davar shelo yechashash hefsed v'sakana, in a way that it can't cause a great loss and danger. In other words, you don't, when you want to, if you want to test if the waters have gone down, you don't say, okay, elephants, jump off the diving board, because it doesn't work well. So that's what he means. A person has to find a way to first test it very, in a small way, which I assume, he doesn't spell it out, I assume that means a person, I'm working on myself, I've gone through this process of drawing back in the kochos that I think I've implemented in the world in a wrong way. I've thought about it, I've worked on it. I think I'm ready to start again. So I try using one of my talents or my faculties in a small way and see, does it go back to where it used to be? Oh no, I got angry and I was arrogant. Oh, we're not ready yet. The waters haven't gone down. But if it works well, oh, then maybe the waters have, if it came out differently, if it came out in a better way, more masukun, more with a tikkun, then we are ready. But you have to do, he's saying you have to do it in a small way first, like sending out a bird which can test it but it doesn't fall, it can fly back. Kemo Noach Shesholach Ma'ofefim, that he sent things that fly. Top of Lama Tez Shekanfeihem Maginos Aleim Mehabambul. This is probably part of the Kabbalah, but he says it's creatures that have wings that protect them from the waters. I don't know if that's probably something that comes from the way it's put in the Kabbalah. Yeah.
So it's like Shimon Bar Yochai when he went out of the cave and they started burning everything up and they had to go back in. His son, I think, they had to go back in and like, I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, maybe we need some fine tuning. There it was a little different. That was too much Kedusha. Mm-hmm. We're talking about where a person has...
The opposite.
Yeah, somewhat the opposite, but it can require fine tuning that way also. That's right. Ukashayira shaha kilko lo niskan lagamri. If he sees that the kilko, the corruption, has not been entirely fixed. Yes, so if osam el tevaso. To be osif means to gather in. He has to gather them back into his teva. Ad sheyeda, until he knows... Kichorva pnei haaretz, that the face of the earth has dried out. Chorev is dry. Ve'oz yisyashiv harbe ad sheyimtze ba'atmav shemitzad kvodo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'kiyum terasa roi lehi lechopes. Then he has to think about it and recognize that for the honor of Hashem, it's appropriate for him to be shown. He's emphasizing, I think what he means is a person can make a mistake and think that he's supposed to permanently hide back in the teva. A person has to say, that's part of the process, and it's a painful process, and it feels like tshuva, it sure does. But he says, that's not the tachlis, that's not the end. He has to think about the fact that for the sake of Hashem, he has to once again allow the kochos out. V'zehu dugmas maimar Hashem yisparach v'noach tzei min ha-teva. And this all falls under when Hashem says to Noah, go out from the teva. You'll never look at the words tzeimen ha-teva the same way again. Tzeimen ha-teva means a whole process of tshuva, but you can't leave it at that. You have to be ready to... And it's an interesting thing. You find this in Tanakh, in the incident with Peretz Uzzah, when David HaMelech, when they were dancing in front of the Aron as they were bringing it, and there was too much levity, Mepharshim say, too much Avas Hashem, not enough Yiras Hashem, and David made a mistake, according to Halacha, that he put the Aron on a wagon instead of having it carried, and then it slipped, and a man named Uzzah put his hand there, was going to stop it from falling, and he died, and the Pasuk says David understood that was a punishment for him. So if you look carefully at the psukim there and the way the Mepharshim explain it, he realized he didn't have enough awe of Hashem. It was too much love untempered by awe. But if you look right away afterward, it says once again he practiced Avas Hashem, and they danced again for the Aron. When they brought it back the next time, they did dance, and it said he was dancing wild. In fact, when his wife told him he was dancing too much, he said, no, you're wrong. That's a beautiful idea. I think it's exactly this. A person had kochos. He had talents and faculties and gifts that he was using a certain way. He realized that was wrong. It was sinful. It wasn't the right way to do it. So part of tshuva calls them all off, brings them back in. But a person can make a mistake and think that's the end. The greatness of David HaMelech, he says, no, we will dance b'simcha again, but this time the right way. That's what he's saying. You have to use those kochos again. The Torah doesn't want a person to have kochos that he just stymies and nicks his, well, I did tshuva, so I don't do anything. That's not what it is. That's a temporary process, but then you're supposed to release those kochos again and use them in the right way, which I think is a beautiful idea. It's a very deep idea, but I think it's applicable, and we can think of how it applies in our own lives.
So what if a person does something that is negative Torah, and tries to draw back, but then doesn't, and it's such a habit that it keeps on going on and on and on. What, from where does he draw the kaychas?
That's hard. See, he's not really talking about a behavior. He's talking about a koach. So that's really a different discussion. A person can, the things that a person does, that they're not any sort of gift. They're not any sort of koach. Just he was doing a bad thing. That requires a different kind of a tshuva. He's talking about where the kochos per se are good. They've just been linked up with the wrong thing. If I'm just doing a bad behavior, that's altogether, that really has no, that just has to be abandoned entirely. But behind it somewhere, there was some yearning for something that just wasn't being implemented right. So he should implement it in a good way. But he's not really addressing that point, because you could be just talking about something that's just altogether sin. It doesn't come from anything necessarily good. But anyway, that is Tzemen HaTeva. As part of the tshuva process, yeah.
Yeah, how does he know the place he's releasing himself into isn't the problem that's causing the issues?
Yeah. I think it takes careful analysis.
Does this mean the person's to drug themselves in until they can handle their environment, or does it mean...
It's not even so much the environment, it's the interface of the person's kochos and the environment. Right. I mean, he's being very general. He's talking about the yisod without giving examples, but I might not fully understand it, so I'm wary. Whenever you give an example of something, I might be constricting it myself. But a person has a great talent. A person's very charismatic, and is able to rally people to things. And in a previous phase of life, was rallying people to the wrong ideas, the wrong movements. Has an awakening, wants to do tshuva. Too quickly jumps back at that and finds that he is relating to the same kind of people. It's ending up in the same place. Has to rethink that, works on it more, abandons that mida, keeps it locked up, but then with enough time finds that the same charisma actually can now be implemented, and maybe he tests it first on a small sample or a limited amount of time, but then sees, you know what, now I'm able to do it properly, the tikkun has happened, and now he uses that koch. It can be something in seichel. A person was applying his seichel just for material advancement, and if he tries the tshuva too quickly, finds himself again doing that. A person, I don't want to give too many examples, but I think if each person has to assess the situation. This type of musa, I think, is for a person of great spirit. He's talking about people who have great, which every person somewhere does have, but not everything in tshuva, I think, do we relate to this. This is talking about like the best of our kishronos. Okay, this next piece also beautiful and important. In fact, when I had gotten this sefer, I told you my uncle gave it to me right before I was leaving Eretz Yisrael this last time. On the plane back, I opened to this next piece, and I found it very almost siyata deshmaya, because I had just come back from a whirlwind day. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, you feel inspired, and you see all the different types of yidden and so much Torah and mitzvahs and things, and sometimes it becomes overwhelming. Sometimes when you see so many different things, the overwhelming feeling can actually be negative. So listen to this next idea from Rav Kook. We're on page Lamed Tes, Os Beis. This is all the second chapter, which is all about how to set up one's kochos. The first was about studying Musar. Now the second parak is about ordering, setting up a person's kochos. And now we learned about recalibrating. They were going one way, pull them in, set it up again differently. Now step two. Bechol drachecha de'ehu, that's a pasuk. In all your ways, know him. So it says Rav Kook. Bechol drachecha de'ehu, tzarech levakish es HaKadosh Baruch Hu betoch hadrochim shehu misnaheg bahem. One has to seek Hashem within the ways that he is currently conducting himself within. We'll explain what that means in a second. Kishehu osek batfila, when he's involved in prayer, Oz yevakesh es HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he should seek Hashem behavonas in yonei tefilaso, with understanding the concepts of his prayer, v'kavona ritzuya, and I'll translate loosely, like a beloved intent, an intent that Hashem will find beloved, be'emunas halev, with full belief of the heart, be'osam ha'inyonim shel tefilaso, in those matters of his tefila. I'm talking about I need parnasa, and Hashem, you're the one who gives parnasa. I need refuah, you're the one who gives refuah. Hashem, help me with this. Hashem, I make you a partner in that. I recognize it comes from you. So a full kavana, a full emuna. But his point is, seek Hashem within that. V'lo yivakesh es hayidia v'shah ahi b'inyonim acher. He should not seek knowledge of Hashem at that moment in other things. Ki kevan shu osik ba'avoda zo, because since he's involved in this service, this realm of service, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiveyachol shora mitzido b'zoh ha'avoda dafka. Kiveyachol, so to speak, it's an anthropomorphism because Hashem is not physical and Hashem cannot be limited. But in a manner of speaking, the way we relate to things, Hashem is dwelling opposite him in this area of avoda only. Ubayim tsa'ena, and he will find him there, v'lo b'makom acher, not anywhere else. What he's addressing is that the more one delves into service of Hashem, it's so varied that it's almost like when if I'm doing one thing, I feel like I can't only be doing this. Yet tefillah is one realm of serving Hashem, but I can't just be focused on tefillah because there's a whole other realm of knowledge of Hashem, which is Torah, which is understanding, and I'm not doing that now. And then there's a whole other realm of the midos that we're supposed to practice. The Rambam writes a central mitzvah of the Torah is v'halachta v'drachav, is going in the ways of Hashem, which means emulating his midos, which means being kind to other people, which means the midos we see Hashem showering upon us, we're supposed to be practicing. And here I am standing in Shemoneh Esrei, I'm not helping anybody. And those are all correct. Hashem is infinite, and the ways that we approach him and serve him are very varied. And one is not like the other. Tefillah is very different from Torah, is very different from Chesed, and there are subcategories of all of those. So if a person's involved in one, see, the problem he's addressing, you have to be on a certain madrega to even feel the problem, but Rav Kook felt it. I mean, great people. He's, how can I only be doing this? I'm denying this and this and this and this. So here's the good news. He's saying, don't do that. Bichol drachecha da'ehu, what he's saying is, whatever you're involved in now, Hashem is entirely there. He's nowhere else. If you're involved in tefillah, Kadosh Baruch Hu kiva, this is not literal at all, but Hashem is lined up in front of you only in that. And right now, he has nothing to do with Torah, nothing to do with chesed. If you're doing chesed, you're helping somebody and caring for it. What about I'm not davening mincha? Don't worry about it. That's when you're doing that, he's there. When you're doing this, he's here. Every single aspect of avoda is 100%. How do you have 100% plus 100% plus 100%? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can live with things that in our math are impossible. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 100% in tefillah, as far as you're concerned when you're involved in tefillah.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to translate to modern lingo.
I thought that was modern lingo.
Don't multitask and focus.
Right, that's what it translates to. But he's saying even beyond that, what you just said is a practical piece of advice. When we multitask, we tend not to do anything well.
True.
But without even getting into the practical problems, he's telling us something deeper, that even the feeling that I'm missing at this time when I'm engaged in this realm of avoda, that I'm missing out something else, he's saying it's not true. When you're doing that avoda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in your realm of existence, your olam, Hashem is all there. He's entirely there. Tefillah, we spoke about this a little earlier, tefillah is one sort of approach to Hashem. It doesn't have to do with intellectually trying to achieve das and understand things deeper. It's an emotion. It's almost the opposite of Torah. When you're involved in tefillah, that's it. It's a personal pouring out to Hashem, I don't understand. You're infinite. I'm finite. I'm tiny. I pour myself upon you. I'm nothing. I don't understand anything. I always quote the Mishnah Berurah quotes in a couple of places. One of the great Rishonim, Rav Shimshon of Kino, and he wrote a sefer called the Sefer HaNiyar, among others. He was a great Kabbalist, but he said, after all of the study of the mystical parts of the Torah, when I daven, I pray like a one-day-old baby.
Wow.
What he means is no big chachmas, no. Hashem is infinite. I don't understand them. I just say, Vina, just simple Hashem, you run the world. I don't just. So tefillah, in a certain sense, is just simple emunus. It's all you, Hashem. It's not me. Torah is a deep idea. I'm processing it. I'm understanding. I had a question. I came up with an answer. I'm thinking about it. I'm reading other sources. So tefillah and Torah are very different. As I said before, chesed, interpersonal, it's a whole other realm. Each one has a very different flavor, a very different experience. And again, a great person, when he's doing one, could have this feeling, but I'm missing that other approach. So what he's saying is there's an idea like this in the Rambam. The Rambam in Marnevuchim says that in tefillah, the more you invite Hashem, the more you envision Hashem, the more He is actually there. Not having kavana in tefillah is a vicious cycle, because when you have kavana, Hashem is there. So I don't have kavana, I don't feel like anyone's there. You know why? Because He isn't. So kavana invites, and kavana in preparation invites Hashem to be there. And when Hashem is there, I do feel like I'm talking to the Almighty. So what he's saying is you invite Hashem, if you're talking to Him in tefillah, He's entirely there. He's not at the doorstep of some other realm of avoda. Okay? Ukeshu osek b'Torah, when he's involved in Torah study, yeda, he should know, sheyimtes HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yoso mamik u'ma'ayin lahavin davar al burio. He should know that he'll find Hashem when he is plumbing the depths and analyzing to understand something properly. Davar al burio means to understand something properly and fully. V'luzkar, and to remember. U'lishanen heite. Lishanen means to have it sharp. We study Torah not just to one time to understand something, but to get it at the tip of our tongue, that we know the words and we know the concepts. That's the process of Torah. When I'm studying Torah, Torah is the only thing that exists. This is the way to come close to Hashem. It's the knowledge of Hashem. That's the only way. When I'm studying Torah, that's the only way. I needn't think and shouldn't think about the other approaches to Hashem. Because right now, again, the way he said, Hashem is dwelling right there in knowledge. He's not dwelling in service. He's not dwelling in Midos, acts of Midos, those are other things, but right now they don't exist. For you right now when you're doing Torah, so you exist in Torah. It's fascinating that you have to be on a high level to even feel the problem, but I think great people do. They're doing Torah, they feel, what about this? What about that? I had a friend in high school, we had a day off, we'd go out to eat breakfast, he said, where are we going to go for lunch? And at lunch, where are we going to go for dinner? Like always, Kibashazu. Because at this moment, he is revealed in this avoda and nowhere else. There's a pasuk in Mishlei. Meisir ozno mishmoa Torah gam tfilasa toeven. There's the Gemara in Shabbos that talks about it. A person who turns away his ear from hearing Torah, his prayer is also an abomination. That's what the pasuk says. What it means is that's exactly this idea. I don't think he quotes it in this paragraph, but if you're involved in Torah and you're in the middle of something, you say, I'm going to stop and engage some other realm of serving Hashem, that's like walking. Right now, Hashem is there. Hashem is lined up in that area of service. Why are you turning away from it? He's there. So, and this is an idea in general in mitzvahs. Osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. You're involved in one mitzvah, you're exempt from another. I'm supposed to be thinking about it with certain exceptions, but basically that's the rule.
How does that apply to what Abraham did at the tent when he was talking to Hashem and then he saw the guests coming in?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a rule. I mean, Chazal says because accepting guests is greater than talking to Hashem, but if we could elaborate a little bit, an exception to Osik mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, that one who's engaged in one mitzvah is exempt from another, is a mitzvah overus she'efshar la'asos al yidei acherim. Is a passing mitzvah that cannot be done by others. Yeah. If there are people who need lodging or need food, and I'm here, no one else can do the mitzvah, bring them into my house. And if I don't engage them now, they're going to walk by. So then I have the mitzvah. At a deeper level, the Rav Futner has a beautiful piece on this. In fact, it's in the Pachad Yitzchak on Shavuos. We have this irony about Torah. On the one hand, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Torah study is greater than any other mitzvah. On the other hand, Torah actually has a rule that it's the first one to be overridden. If a mitzvah comes up when I'm studying Torah, it's a mitzvah over Shir Shalasa Zadei Acherim, so I'm supposed to do the mitzvah. Why? Torah is considered greater. The answer is because that is Torah. Torah is lomed almanas las, which is learning in order to do. So I always like to give it with almost a facetious example. But so if I'm giving a shir, and this is how you give tzedakah. When the poor man comes and he says, I need money, so we're supposed to feel, so it says here, you're supposed to feel his needs, and these are the halachas. And the guy comes and I said, excuse me, could you spare $5? Do you mind? I'm giving a shir here. So that's not, it's not just that I fail to do a mitzvah. The Torah isn't Torah if it's not almanas la'asos. So I think it's really just like a part of the Torah. Bringing in those guests was part of the will of Hashem.
He sent them, but Abraham didn't know that.
Yeah, but even if he didn't say that, that's the way the halacha would be.
Right.
But in general, when it's a question of my Torah or my tefillah, and I'm doing one, and I say, well, I think I'd like to switch the channel. It's almost like, yeah, this is boring. So that's wrong. Or even if it's not boring, but why am I pursuing Hashem here? Let me pursue him there. No, when you're pursuing Hashem in one realm, do it fully and wholeheartedly and accept what halacha says, that it's for the needs of someone else, so that then that's an exception.
So you should stop learning to daven at the proper time.
Well, so we rule that that's a mitzvah of eris, that when the zman comes, the Gemara actually talks about people who are on a very high level who actually didn't have to do that. But we don't hold ourselves to that standard. We don't hold that we're at that level, so therefore we do. But if the halacha wouldn't warrant it, when the halacha doesn't warrant it, so don't leave one realm of the service of Hashem for another, because he's entirely lined up in the first one.
Halacha warrants it when you're talking about a time-bound mitzvah, right?
Yeah, or even if it's not time-bound, but in this instance, it's time-sensitive. The poor person is here now. If I don't give him now, he's not going to be here in half an hour when I'm finished. So it's what the halacha calls a mitzvah overes, a passing mitzvah that I can't give to someone else to do. No one else can give my money. Unless someone else can, if there's someone else from the house, so that would take care of it. But otherwise, my mitzvah can't be done through someone else. V'chein b'yos ha'osek b'gemilas chasadim. Similarly, when he's involved in gemilas chasadim, l'heitiv l'chaver, to do good to his friend, oz yevakish as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he should seek Hashem, where? Rak b'ha'amokos eitza eich l'heitiv l'otova g'dola haguna v'kayemes. By going to the depths of counsel, what's the best way to give him goodness and it should be proper and lasting? You know, right? Chazal always talk about Eitza She'ena Hogenes, though. Don't give somebody bad advice. Seek to help people in the best way possible, not as superficial. Okay, I gave him a suggestion and he went on his way. What's the best I can do for this person? The deepest and fullest chesed. So Hashem is entirely there. When you're using the best of your faculties to help another person, that is emulating the ways of Hashem. That's exactly what we're put here for. The Rambam says every time we describe the midos of Hashem, rachum, chanun, erech apayim, all of those things, that those are not really descriptions because Hashem is inscrutable. We can't describe Hashem. Those are midos that he shows us for the purpose of teaching us how we should act. Ultimately, it's just to teach us the midos we should practice. So practicing midos toward another person is emulating the ways of Hashem. It's such a central mitzvah. So when I'm doing that, don't seek him anywhere else. V'chein b'chol advarim. And similarly, in all the things she'osa, harei be'emes ein davar ba'olam she'ena l'chvod yisparach. The truth is, there's nothing in the world that isn't for his honor, which is a statement in Pirkei Avos. Al kein, therefore, kol ma she'osa, everything that he does, yi ha'kol divrei mitzvasa ritzon, it's all the words of Hashem's mitzvahs and his will. V'yivakshu bohem es shmo yisbarach. He should seek in them Hashem's name. Kishe yishtadol b'chol sichlo v'kochosav lasos es mashu osa. When he will try, make the greatest effort with all of his intellect and all of his faculties, all of his kochos, to do what he is doing b'tachlis hashlemus, to the fullest completion. V'chol tzadi hashlemus, and all elements thereof. This is such an idea in all of the Balei Musa, that whatever you're doing, do it in the best way possible. Balei Musa say, even when something seems very mundane, Israel Salanti used to always quote a certain teaching in the Medrash this way, but you can be making shoes, but if you're doing it because I want to make a good pair of shoes for the customer and it's honest and it's good, and you can be saying good morning to somebody, just saying it in the nicest way, and that's the greatest tikkun. V'nimtza shehu yodeyas Hashem yisparach b'chol hadrachim. Then he knows Hashem, which is the pasuk that we're talking about here, in all of his ways. V'habeiz hu beiz habesoch. In this pasuk, again, which is the heading of this chapter, Bichol drachecha da'ehu, in all of your ways know him. Be sometimes just means by way of or with, but sometimes it means within. Says Rav Kook, it means within all, or probably better translated here, each of your ways know him. Within, entirely submerged within each of your ways. It's a way of chesed. You're totally submerged, immersed in chesed, and know him there. You're in tefillah, delve into it. Entirely within tefillah, know Hashem. Don't be treading water on the surface because I'm hoping to jump to something else. Now totally immerse yourself in that way and you'll find him there. That's why he says Beis means within. Sheba atzmusam shel adrachim, in the very essence of the ways, hu yodeyas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one knows Hashem. Al kein hu parsha katana. That's why the Gemara at the end of Brachos describes that pasuk as a parsha katana. It's a small parsha. What does he mean? She'ein hatzivui bo gadlus v'hachava shel chachmos u'machshavos. The commandment there is not to broaden and to seek to extrapolate broad ideas. Adarava, to the contrary, tzimtzum, it's constricting. Tzimtzum b'davar zeh, to limit oneself to this thing. B'chol drachecha do'ehu doesn't mean to be expansive, it means to limit yourself. Sometimes the way to serve Hashem is not to be looking all over, it's to be totally limited and folks have blinders on. B'davar zeh shu asuk levado, and this thing that he is busy with alone. When we call makom, call gufei Torah tzluyim ba. On the other hand, all the important things of the Torah revolve around or are dependent on this. Kibazeh ya'aseh hakol kashur, because by this he will do everything properly. The irony is, it means to limit yourself, not to expand, to contract, but by so doing, you'll do everything better. So it's a very expansive. It makes everything you do better, which ultimately is a big thing, not a small thing. Because I'll describe it as a small parsha, because by making it small, you make it big. And by this, from this, he'll find the honor of Hashem in the ultimate way. Ramzu chazal b'divrayim, and our sages alluded to this with their words. Zman tfilo l'chud. Uzman Torah Lechud V'Havein. This is a beautiful idea. The truth is, he already used this phrase once earlier in the Sefer, you might recall, this way. Rav Kook sees in this one sentence of Chazal, it's a story in the Gemara with Rava and Rav Hamnuna, and you'll recall the story that Rav Hamnuna was davening for a long time. And Rava said, it was the time when they already could have started learning. And Rava said, people abandon eternal life and get involved with ephemeral life because tefillah is about our needs. Torah is eternal. So he's engaging something that has to do with the present when he could be engaging with something that has to do with eternity. But the Gemara answers and says, Vahu savar, but he held, Zman tefillah lechud, Zman Torah lechud. The time for tefillah is one thing alone, and the time for Torah is another thing alone. Says Rav Kook, what that really means, the depth of what the Gemara means, is that when you're doing one thing, that's all that exists. The greatest tzaddikim, when they're addressing a person's problem, people have described about different great tzaddikim, that when they were in that person's presence, they felt like they were the entire world, because you were. When you're talking to him, the rest of the world doesn't exist. The issue that you're presenting, so a person who approaches their tefillah like that, and their Torah like that, Zman tefillah l'chud means tefillah is alone. There's nothing else in the world when you're doing tefillah. There's nothing else in the world when you're doing Torah. V'havein, and he says, and understand this. This is a deep idea. Beauty of Moses Farm is they present the whole idea. The Chovos HaLevavos does this constantly. And then they give you a statement from Chazal, and then you realize that's what Chazal meant. Zman tefillah l'chud, Zman Torah l'chud means this whole idea. And they put in here from, you can see the footnote, Yud Beis Hosofa Miksavya Kodsho. This is an addition from a manuscript of his. I think it wasn't in the original version he wrote of Musar Avicha, but he had written it somewhere else, and it fits in here, so they put it in. This basically summarizes the whole idea in one little paragraph. Kisha Adam Poel Eze Davar Shal Shlemus. When a person is able to do some complete task, to achieve something that's complete, Bein B'mach Shava. Whether in thought, even if it's just in thought, I finally grasped a Torah idea, I finally fully processed something. Bein b'maisa, or whether in action, you are able to accomplish something, to achieve something in action. Tzarech l'sameach b'chelko. He has to rejoice over his lot. V'lo yirdof oz acher davar acher. And he should not pursue at that time anything else. Ki kol ha'olam kulo miskapel lefanov. Oz dafka befradze, because the entire world is folded up before him or underneath him, then in that detail. It's the idea of making a siyum, it's the idea of celebrating an accomplishment in mitzvah. We don't stay there forever, we have to move on. But at that moment, that the entire world was folded up underneath you. You achieve something, any achievement, which is something in shleimus, you have to celebrate like accomplish the entire universe. That's this idea, because at that moment, that's in fact true. Human beings are finite. We can't be serving Hashem in this way and that way and the other way simultaneously. Therefore, Hashem is above Zman. Hashem at one time, right? The old question of how does he know what I'm going to do tomorrow and yet he gives me free will? It's a question we ultimately can't fully comprehend. But the answer, the way many philosophical sources say it, is because he's above time. For him, it's tomorrow now and it's also today now. So what I did tomorrow, for him, it is tomorrow, but it's also today when I have free will. But we don't exist like that. For us, I'm only here in the here and now, and a human being therefore does one thing. So when you're doing tefillah, you're doing tefillah, and that's it. Torah is Torah, and chesed is chesed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant, he gave the Torah to man, and therefore if man cannot multitask, as he said, especially if he's doing things fully, so therefore he means that when you're doing one mitzvah, especially do it b'shlemus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there entirely. You needn't think about anything else.
Is it the Yetzer that's trying? I mean, that's what's pulling you off, so to speak, that you should be thinking of this and you should be thinking of that.
Well, yeah, everything, every time we gain something in Chachma, we now know what we should do and shouldn't do. It can be Yetzer, it can just be simply not being informed. He's teaching us that we're doing one mitzvah, that's it. It's just that mitzvah. It's a fascinating idea. Okay, so we'll stop here. We're on page Mem. And we'll continue next week in Mitzvah Shem.
Thank you so much.